Yeah, so today we're going to share on the power of the sacred place, and this is a topic that I feel is quite important to every believer and everyone that desires to grow in the things of God. We must understand what is the importance of a sacred place, or what is a sacred place, and ideally, what does it mean as a believer to have a secret place, and is it, what are the scriptures that guide us? What was the pattern in the Old Testament, the New Testament? What is the pattern that God shows us about the secret place? And so as we start that, we're going to take our reading from the book of Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 5 to 6, and this will just really be our foundation of what we shall share on about the secret place, and I believe that God is going to guide us. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says, When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, you know, when you think about what the scriptures, the foundational scriptures, Jesus was teaching his disciples about prayer. And one of the things that he was teaching them about prayer is how to pray. You remember the disciples would come to him and ask him, Lord, how should we pray? And teach us how to pray. And when we look at this Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, he tells them that when you pray, that means that Jesus expected that his disciples will be people of prayer. He expected that his disciples will be prayerful. So he tells them not that if you pray, he tells them that when you pray. So the first thing that he tells them, that when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. And he says that, assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. What is the reward of, you know, people who stand, you know, praying in the synagogues, that men will see them? Their reward, of course, is people will clap for them. People will say, oh, you are a righteous man. Hey, you are a prayer man. But you see, that is the reward of men. But there is a greater reward, which is the reward of God. And God says, but you, my disciples, you that hear me, you that are listening to this message, when you pray, go into your inner room. In fact, King James puts it like, go into your inner chamber. And when you have shut thy door, when you have shut your door, then the Bible says, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And this will be the foundation of what we shall look at. And just some keywords that we see from this verse, we can see that, and maybe just to define the secret place, the Bible, what we can learn about the secret place is that the secret place refers to the private place of communion with the Father that the believer or the Christian makes a spiritual discipline of prayer, fasting, worship, study, meditation, and by it the Christian or the believer, he develops intimacy with God. So I'll repeat that. The secret place is a private place, and this ideally is different from what we do publicly. I know many of us find it easy to pray in church or to share the word of God in church when there is a crowd, but there's a secret about doing it in private. And that's what God said, that those who do it in public, they have their reward, you know, but those that do it in private, there's a God who sees in the secret, there's a God who is in the secret, and the God that sees in the secret shall reward in publicly. So the key things that we see, that it is a private, not a public place. That means that it necessarily means that it has to be a place where you identify, where you find time to spend with God. Number two, that it is a place for communion and fellowship. What is communion? Communion is a joining together. It's a unity of spirit, a unity of purpose. It's just like when you eat together, you are fellowshipping together. Now, there's a fellowship that comes in the secret place, and that is where you now, actually, as what you said, it develops intimacy. When you know someone, when you want to know someone, like for those who are trying to get married or those who have been married, you develop intimacy by spending time together. The more you spend time with one another, that's when you develop intimacy. So the secret place is a place where we develop intimacy with God, and we become, you know, where we can become naked and not ashamed. Now, when we think of also, it has to be, we are praying to the Father. It's a secret place where we go to meet with our Father. Now, it's very important to recognize that you're not going to God as a distant person or as a distant, powerful, you know, someone that we fear, but we are approaching God as our Father. And that's why it's very important that we understand that we are sons if we are going to benefit from our secret place and if we're going to benefit from our time with God. And apart from this, there are also spiritual disciplines that are learned in the secret place. And these are things that you must do and you will find yourself doing when you find yourself, you've established a secret place. What are these spiritual disciplines? Prayer, fasting, study, meditation, and worship. And we'll look at them shortly in detail. So, Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 39, the Bible tells us of the life of Jesus. The Bible says that now in the morning, and I think King James puts it that early in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, while it was still dark, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. We must learn the discipline of private practice of our worship to God without necessarily needing to show others our own righteousness. And one of the things and one of the secrets that we learn about Jesus is that Jesus loved the secret place. Jesus loved private prayer and worship. And you can see that early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left where he was sleeping with the disciples, and he went to a faraway place and went to a solitary place where he was with his Father, and there he prayed. Now, we must remember that Jesus was fully as a man on the earth. Yes, he was fully God, but he also was fully man. And he was showing us what it means and how necessary it was as a man. How can you live as a man on this earth? You must live as a man on this earth by finding your strength in the secret place. Now, the characteristics that we learned from Jesus is that he did it early in the day. That means while it was still dark, he got up, moved away from where he was sleeping to a solitary place and went to pray. That means that there was no one who was busier than Jesus. I don't think there's anyone who was as busy as Jesus, because the whole day, morning to evening, he will spend time not only teaching his disciples, preaching, healing the sick, casting out devils. If you have tried out to do all these things, you know that it was a busy work. And he will walk from place to place. And that can tell you that he was quite tired. He was always exhausted. But as was his custom, Jesus will get up early in the morning and go and to a place and pray. The second aspect that we've said about the communion is that it refers to fellowship. So, the secret place is a place for communion, and this involves the participation of two or more persons. Now, when we look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, the Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and have heard, and we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Now, John was writing to the church, and he's telling them that, look here, we are not telling you about fables, about stories that existed. We are telling you about that thing that we have seen with our eyes, that thing which we have heard, that thing which we have, our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. Who is the word of life? Concerning Christ. And he tells them that these things are the things that we declare with you, that you may also have communion, fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So whenever you are in the place of communion, in fact, there's this lady was listening to who said that whenever she goes to pray, she puts a chair on that side and says, I know God, you're seated there. I welcome you to sit there. Now we can talk to one another. So you must always have a mental picture, and that is actually what is meditation is. You must always have a mental picture that you are speaking to a God that is before you, that is hearing you, and that you are not just communicating to the air. You know, prayer is powerful when we know, when we have that awareness that we are speaking to God. Now, the secret place is a place of communion, is a place where you come and fellowship with the Father and also with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus was praying for his disciples in John 17, verse 20, he says that, I do not pray for this alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, Jesus was saying, I'm praying that these who believe in me, my disciples, and even those who are afar off, speaking of you and me who believe in Christ, that they may be one. How should they be one? They may be one as you, the Father, are in Christ, and Christ is in the Father. Remember when Thomas was asking Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said, I have been with you all this time. Don't you know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? That if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, Jesus was telling Thomas and his disciples that when we have communion with the Father, we are in God and God is in us. When he says that he is Emmanuel, God with us, that means that God is in us, and at the same time we are in God. That means our lives are hidden in Christ and Christ is hidden in God. Now think of even in the beginning when God was made Adam and Eve, the Bible tells us, and when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. That is telling us that even in the beginning of creation, when God made man, he had purposed a place of communion. The garden was a place where God will come and visit Adam and Eve and have communion with them. That means he will come in the cool of the day and he will come and visit them. And then, but you see, because Adam and Eve sinned, they hid themselves, and God has to ask Adam, where are you? Number three, as I've said, about the secret place is about our interaction with the Father. Now, we had read earlier, Matthew 6, verse 6, it says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That means that he's saying that this is not just God, this is your Father. And I want you to have an assurance within you that God is your Father. It doesn't matter what you're facing, that you have a Father who knows and knows every challenge that you're facing, knows every tear that you cry, and a Father that is concerned for you, a Father who is in the secret place. That means that he's not found in the open. And one of the things that you learn about God is that the Bible tells us that he's a God who loves to hide himself. That means that he's not just found in the open, but he is found by those that seek him. As we approach God as our Father who is spirit, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You must know that God is spirit and that he is in the secret place. Look at what Jesus told Mary. When Jesus resurrected, Mary wanted to hold on to him. And Jesus said to her, Mary, and she turned and said to him, John 20:16, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Then verse 17, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So there's a clear relationship that we are coming to a Father who is our Father. He is our God and he is our Father. And remember when you talked about the fatherhood of God, we must know that he is better than any earthly father we will ever have or imagine to have. Now, John chapter 1 verse 10 to 13, and I loved how Amplified puts it. It says that he, Christ, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, that which belonged to him, his world, his creation, his possession. And those who were his own people, the Jewish nation, did not receive and welcome him. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name, who are born, not of blood, that is natural conception, nor of the will of the flesh, that is physical impulse, nor of the will of man, that of a natural father, but of God, that is a divine and supernatural birth. They are born of God, that is spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified. When we say we are born again, when we say we are children of God, we are saying that we are not just natural children. We are not just born naturally. You know, when you say someone is a son of someone, you will say, oh, it is the father who decided to have a child, you know. But God is saying us that we are not just born of a natural conception. We are not just born of blood, but we are born supernaturally. That is by the divine and supernatural birth of God. We are born of God. And you must know that you are not just a normal human being. When you give your life to Jesus, you are born again. You are born supernaturally. And there is a supernatural nature about the new creation. That's why we say you are a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Then that means that your life no longer becomes normal. Your life no longer becomes ordinary. You expect supernatural things to happen about you. When we look at in the book of Acts, all we see is signs and miracles and wonders. Why? Because they understood that they were no longer ordinary, but they were born of God. They had a divine and supernatural birth. That means they are spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified. God makes you holy. He gives you his nature. He gives you his power. And that's why when you say that you are praying to your Father, you have the same DNA as God. You have the same nature as God. When God said, let us make man after our own image and likeness, he was referring to you. It is you that bears his nature, his likeness, that are born of God. And that is why whether you don't have earthly parents, whether you don't have people who respect you as, or maybe your parents have disowned you, you can rest assured that you are born of God to those who believed him, to those who received him, to those who welcomed him. He gave them the right, that means the power, the exousia, the authority, and the privileges to become children of God. Now, apart from the Father, we must also, when we come to the secret place, we must also have faith. Now, this is where we say it is the believer. Anyone that is a believer is someone that has faith. Because you will meet people who will tell you, prove to me that God exists. You know, they will ask you, show me where God is. Let God appear right now and I will believe he is there. Because to them, they think that God is only expressed in the natural. They don't know that our God is spirit. Now, when we come to God, as a believer, you must come to God by faith. The Bible says that Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him, that is to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what I was saying. When you're coming to your secret place, when you have established your secret place, when you have purposed in your heart that each and every morning at 5 a.m. or at 6 a.m. or at 5:30 a.m., I will be waking up to have communion with God in my secret place. You must know that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means that anyone that purposes to find God will find God. I tell you today, even if it is in the evening, you say, before I sleep at 10 p.m., this will be my time where it shall not be interrupted, that I shall spend time with God. And you start seeking God. Or let's say you say, okay, I'm going to start praying for the next 21 days. I'm going to be praying for 30 minutes. I'm going to be praying for my job, or praying for my future, or praying for my marriage, or praying for my child. I assure you, when you continue in that diligence, you're going to seek God. You're going to find God, because God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There is a diligence to it. We must seek God. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 to 13 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, that the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart. God is saying, if you want to find me, you will find me. If you want to know God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart. It's not just a matter of, today I'm there, or tomorrow I'll decide whether I'll come to church or not. No, it is a diligent seeking that you know without a shadow of doubt that you must find God. You must go to your secret place, that you have purposed that, God, help me by all means that I must find you. And anyone who seeks God diligently, God has said that you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, we say the secret place is also about a place for spiritual disciplines. What are spiritual disciplines? Spiritual disciplines are spiritual activities that you engage your will, one's will, to overcome your flesh, and by which you find access to God's presence. Let me repeat that. Spiritual disciplines are spiritual activities that you as a person, you engage your will to overcome your flesh. The Bible tells us that the flesh contradicts the spirit. That means the flesh desires anything that is contrary to the spirit. And the spirit also is in contradiction to the flesh. And he says that those that are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Now, when it says there's disciplines, it means that it is something that you must exercise your will, you must exercise your conscience, you must purpose to do it. I'm telling you, prayer does not come naturally. If anyone tells you prayer comes naturally, it is not true. Fasting does not come naturally. Why? Because anything that the flesh loves comes naturally. The flesh loves to sleep, the flesh loves to eat, the flesh loves entertainment, the flesh loves, you know, to just relax. The flesh loves to be satisfied. And that is why did Adam and Eve fall? They fell in the place of the flesh. It was just a matter of food. Now, if you cannot conquer your food, If you cannot conquer your stomach, then you cannot grow in the things of God. Now, discipline is about knowing that you are a soldier. You know, when you think of the Bible says that anyone that desires to enter into a race, to win a prize, must discipline themselves. You never find that an athlete is just eating any kind of food. They know that every kind of food they take will have an impact on their body mass. It will have an impact on their ability to compete. No one who is a soldier will engage himself in civilian affairs. Now, that's why I'm saying the secret place is a place where we build our spiritual disciplines. One of the spiritual disciplines that we build is prayer and fasting. Now, Jesus was asked by some people, why don't your disciples fast like the disciples of John? Then Matthew chapter 9 verse 15, Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. So they were wondering, why are Jesus' disciples not fasting? But Jesus told them, look here, I am with them. They don't need to fast. But a time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away and they will fast. I tell you, as a believer, there is a discipline that you need to encourage yourself to pray and to fast. And think of when the disciples tried to cast out a demon, and this is Matthew 17 verse 21, they tried to cast out the demon that was from a child which was deaf and mute. And this child, it was an epileptic spirit that will throw down the child. The child will be thrown into the fire and into the water. And the father brought the child to the disciples to cast out the demon, and they could not do it. And you see, the disciples were wondering, but why does this not work? Because remember, in the previous chapters, they were already given authority to cast out demons. Jesus had sent them and he had given them authority to cast out demons. But you see, they were unable to cast out this epileptic spirit. And then Jesus tells them, oh, faithless generation, how long will I be with you? And he brings the child and he casts it out. And then he tells them, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will speak to this mountain, be removed and be thrown into the sea. And then verse 21 says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. There are things that are at higher spiritual level to where you are. The blessings that you're trusting God for, the miracles that you, the breakthrough that you're asking God for, there are things that are in the place where God will tell you, come up hither, come up higher, and I will show you these things. Now, Jesus was telling them, there is a kind, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, people will debate, is it the faith or is it the demon? Irrespective of whichever side you choose. Whether it is the faith getting out by prayer and fasting, or the demon coming out by prayer and fasting. Jesus was telling them that there are things that you will access to, you will not get them except by prayer and fasting. And I will challenge you, as a spiritual discipline, develop a habit of fasting at most, or at least once a week. Once a week, find a day in the week where you have purposed, where this is the day where I'm going to kill my flesh. As I kill my flesh, whatever desires it wants, I'm not going to feel it. I'm going to stay away from food. You can take water, take one meal at the end of the day. Let it not be just a heavy meal that you are recovering for everything that you have done in the day, you have missed in the day. But take it moderately, but let it be a time that you spend actually listening to God, reading the word of God and praying. Let it not just be a hunger strike, because it's possible to not take a meal. There are people who do that, but there is no engagement of the word of God. The prayer and fasting is powerful. Your fasting is more powerful if you actually spend that time listening to the word of God, reading the word of God, or even if you just take, even if it's 30 minutes or an hour of that break, to find somewhere and pray or read the word of God, listen to a sermon. Why? Because you're engaging in a spiritual discipline. The other discipline that you can learn and you need to do in the secret place is to study. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 Timothy was told, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what was this Timothy was being told? He was being told that you need to study the word of God. Now, this is not even for approval of men. You know, at times you find that people study the word of God, or maybe when they are called to preach, that is when they study. But Timothy was being told, you prove yourself approved unto God. That means that by discipline, you learn how to study the word of God, knowing that it is God that approves you. And as you are approved of God, then you become a workman that does not need to be ashamed. That means that you will not fear whenever you are challenged. You know, that I mean, we live in a context where someone will ask you, oh, why are you having Easter? What is the meaning of Jesus? You know, why is Jesus Jesus not just a prophet? Why is he the Son of God? Are you going to be able to be rightly divide the word of truth and not be ashamed? The Bible tells us, always be ready to make a defense for the gospel. Study goes more beyond just reading. I would have told you, yes, read the word of God. Reading is just for comprehension. But study is a deeper level where you ask yourself, what are the themes in the book of Acts? What are the themes in the book of Philippians? Who was the book of Philippians being written to? How can you summarize in five sentences, one book? You know, what can you say? What are the key learnings? Studying is where you are now taking notes. And this is something I will encourage you. Now, meditation goes beyond study. What is meditation? Meditation is not this Eastern theology where, you know, you find someone is just chanting and emptying their mind and just, you know, in a funny position and just expecting that, you know, that their consciences will be awakened. No. In meditation, in Christian meditation is different from Eastern, you know, meditation. In Christian meditation, we fill ourselves with the word of God. In Eastern meditation, you empty your mind. In Christian meditation, you fill your mind with the word of God. And not only do you fill your mind with the word of God, you actually speak it. That's why the Bible says, Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. That means it is not departing from your mouth. That means you constantly speak the word of God. Like you can just be sitting to yourself and you just say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, you're facing some trouble, you're working, but you're just saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That is a meditation on the word of God, is a meditation on the scriptures, and by that you are allowing God to allow that word to come to life. When you meditate on the word of God, and I love what Caroline has put in the comments, that when you empty your mind in Eastern meditation, you are actually emptying yourself where demonic spirits fill you. So anyone that engages in this Eastern meditation, all those alignments that they do, you know, demons have altars. You know, they have certain alignments that they do, that when you align in a certain posture, that is when they can enter you because you are in their shape. You understand? Now, you can think of that woman with the crippling spirit. She had to be bent over because the spirit was a bending spirit. But when Jesus cast out the spirit, she was straightened. Now, in Eastern meditation, they open up themselves to demonic spirits and they are filled by that. But in Christian meditation, you listen to the word of God. You speak it. You stay on one scripture until it bears, it comes alive. And that is when the Bible says that you may observe to do according to what is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Anyone that has learned the price, the secret place, the place where you sit by the word of God, where you study, and then where you ask yourself, you commune with God and you ask God, what does this scripture mean? And as you think through it, the Holy Spirit brings it to light. The Bible tells us the entrance of the word of God bringeth light and gives understanding to the simple. The word of God brings light. And then another important aspect of spiritual discipline of the secret place is worship. I tell you, spend time just singing to God, worshiping God. You, well, you say you may not have a good voice. Play in some worship music. Put in some background worship music. There's so much background worship music on the internet, on YouTube. You can play that. Listen to the Word of God. Pray with the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Study and then meditate on the Word of God. Anyone that does this, as I said, is a spiritual discipline. Any discipline is like going to the gym. So as you're going to the gym physically, you get strong muscularly. But also in the spirit, as you build yourself in the spirit, you grow your spirit. That's why the Bible says, build up yourself in the most holy faith. Anyone that has learned this, that anyone that consistently practices the spiritual disciplines, and this is also why I said you have to know your secret place. You have to know there's a power in the secret place. You will grow. You will grow in the things of God. Now, number six, the secret place is a place of intimacy. When we say intimacy, what does intimacy mean? Intimacy refers to a deeper knowledge of someone or something that is not known. It's actually like a place where nakedness can be revealed without being ashamed. You can think of when Jesus tells people, not everyone who says to me, Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done wonders in your name? And then I will declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, or you workers of iniquity. Now that knowledge, that word knew, is the same word that is used for intimacy. That I was not intimate with you. I never knew you. You were never open with me. You know, you did not spend time with me. You took my gifts and ran away with them. You know, you took the power and ran away with them. Many people seek the power, but they don't seek to know God as a person. Many people don't spend time to know the character of God. And that is why they keep asking God, God, I want to walk in miracles. I want to walk in this. And God knows the moment he gives them those gifts, because God gives them gifts without repentance, they will run away and they don't even want anything to do with God. Have you ever seen a child who wants just the toy? But you as a father, you think you want to spend time with the child, but the child is after what is in your hand, not after the intimacy with you. Now, the child that wants to spend time with the father is able to reveal secrets to them. Now, that's why it is called the secret place. He that has learned intimacy with God, now God cannot hide things. And that is why when God was saying to Abraham, how he spoke to the other angel, he said, how can I hide this from Abraham? That means that there are things that God will not hide from you when you have learned to be intimate with him. Genesis 2:23-25, and Adam said, now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, remember when we speak of marriage, Paul says, I speak of a deeper mystery, and I speak of Christ and the church. Christ, the spirit of Christ and us, that we are joined to him. We are one spirit. You see, in the flesh, the husband and the wife are one flesh. They are not one spirit. But in Christ, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That is the union that God was trying to represent, where you are naked and not ashamed, where you can come and say, God, you know, I'm struggling with this. And God says, I know. Now, this is what I want to teach you. This is what I want you to do. God is not bothered by our weaknesses. God knows our weaknesses. God called us in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our challenges. He called us. But even as he called us, as you are intimate with him, as you are open with him, as you live with him, then you will realize that those things that you used to struggle with, you don't realize when those chains fell off. Those chains fall off and you realize, oh, I used to struggle with this, but I don't know actually when it lost its power over me. It is because in the place of intimacy, you are covered, you are protected, you are loved. We must love God, not just for the things that he can give, but also for who he is. We're going to look at some of the benefits of the secret place, and I think I'll just take this a bit faster, and then we'll be able to have some points where we can discuss. Number one benefit of the secret place is spiritual growth and edification. Think of John the Baptist. The Bible tells us the child grew and became strong in the spirit and was in the deserts until the day of his manifestation to Israel. Where did John grow? The child went to the wilderness. He went to the secret place. He went and he was eating locusts and he was eating, you know, wild honey. And the Bible tells us when he was there with God, he became strong in spirit. That is why when John introduces him, it tells us that a man sent from God. That means when he was growing strong in the spirit, he was in the secret place until he got to the place where he is in the council, where he stays with God. And now God has to send him from himself. And he says, now go. And the Bible says he preached in the Jordan and all Israel, all of Judea came to hear him and came to be baptized. That means it didn't matter where he was. All he needed to do was to preach. And because he had been with God, he had grown in spirit, there was a rudder in the spirit. Someone is preaching. Could he be the Messiah? Let us go and hear him. And they went and heard him. Think of even Paul. The Bible tells us, Galatians 1:15 to 18, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me to his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. I tell you, Paul discovered something, that when he met the Lord, he did not waste time speaking with human beings. He went to the secret place. He went to Arabia. He went to find God. He went to find Jesus. And when he found him, then he came back. And then now he went and met those of Peter. Why? Because it pleased the Father to reveal himself in him. That he, God proved to him that, you see, I chose you even before in your mother's womb to preach through his grace, through the mercy of God. Now, in the secret place is where you grow. If you think, if you examine yourself and you find that you are no longer growing spiritually, it is because you have neglected your secret place. If you are consistent in your secret place, you will grow. And one of the things that I will assure you is that when you meet on Sunday or on Friday for church, the preacher will actually be just be confirming what you have been reading. That will confirm to you that you are in tune with the Spirit of God. Because as you are in the secret place, God will be confirming to you things. He'll be telling you, read here. It is many times we always laugh when someone preaches, I say, that was the same sermon I would have preached if I was the one preaching on this day. Why? Because we are all in alignment with the Spirit of God. Because he's the same Spirit. So if you are in the secret place, you will grow spiritually and you will be edified. Edification is you'll be built up. Number two, about benefits of the secret place is that there is divine protection in the secret place. Psalms 91 tells us that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Let me just take a pause there. Do you see that God is describing his presence as his shadow, as a place where you can hide under? Up his shadow as a refuge, his secret place as a fortress. That means that if the enemy comes to against you, he finds you hidden in a refuge, he finds you hidden in a fortress, and it's a place where you can trust God. And the Bible says he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. You know, the fowler is a hunter. These are people who are hunting to bring you down, even spiritually, even in wickedness. They are wizards who hunt after people. Now, God is saying, even if they set their traps, even if they have set traps against you, the Lord will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. It doesn't matter what virus will appear on the earth. The Lord will deliver you from the perilous pestilence. And the Bible tells us, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Amplified puts it this way: with your eyes, you shall only be a spectator. I tell you, when trouble comes and you have learned the place of the secret place, you shall only be a spectator. You shall only be seeing those things around you and just smiling and saying, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Number three benefit of the secret place is that there is clarity of God's voice, direction, and purpose. I tell you, you will never hear God in the noise. You're just in loud music. You are running around and playing with people. You never hear God that. But I tell you, the day you spend time with God, you will hear his voice. And you know, God does not speak. He will not speak to you loudly like you're expecting God to the voice of, you know, a man to speak to you. It might happen in certain days, but 80% of the time that God will speak to you, he will speak to you through your thoughts. When you are in the presence of God, when you're worshiping God, when you're fasting, when you're reading the word of God, those thoughts that you think, those ideas that you think in that moment, always write them down. Why? Because that is the thoughts of God speaking through you, because he speaks to you in the language of your thought. And you will just hear, oh, by the way, why have you not arranged your room? Then you start arranging your room. Now, Acts 13 verse 2 to 3 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, they sent them away. The Bible tells us these ministers, the prophets and teachers, they were praying, they were ministering to the Lord with fasting and worshiping God. And then the Bible says, the Holy Spirit said to them, separate to me. They got the voice of God, clarity, direction. When you hear the voice of God, you will never be afraid. You can have lost your job, but God just tells you, fear not. And that fear not can last you 10 years. Just because you remember the voice of God telling you, fear not. Look at how Elijah was looking for the voice of God. He was told, go, you'll meet the voice of God. 1 Kings 19:11. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into the pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? God was not in the earthquake. God was not in the fire. God was not in the wind, but he was in the small, still voice. It is in the stillness, in the quietness of the secret place that you will hear the voice of God. Number fourth benefit of being in the presence of God or being in the secret place is that you will become a carrier of God's presence. And when you are a carrier of the presence of God, you manifest the power of God. Jesus told his disciples, Luke 24:29, behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. There is no one who has practiced consistently the secret place that will not manifest the power of God. Jesus told them, stay in Jerusalem, wait in Jerusalem. Tarrying means a place of waiting upon God, worshiping, praying, fasting. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. Anytime you are in the presence of God, the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. The more you spend time with God, the more you become like Him. The more you carry His presence. Moses will go and look, you know, and converse with God face to face. And when he will come out, his face was shining. Now we are being told we have a greater glory than the glory of Moses. The glory of Moses will fade away. But the glory of the new creation, of the new covenant, is not fading. It is increasing from one level of glory to another. As you constantly in the secret place, you are constantly being transformed into the image of God. You are carrying the presence of God. And that's what Jesus said, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the rooftops, on the housetops. That means in the secret place is where you hear the counsel of God, is where you hear what you are to speak to people. You want to preach to people, spend time in the secret place. In fact, if you're consistently in the secret place, if you're asked to share something, you'll not even worry about what to share. Why? Because you have already been with God. You already know what is on His heart. It's a matter of just speaking what He told you. In the secret place is a place where we are taught by God. Number fifth benefit of the secret place is answered prayers and divine provision. Jesus told His disciples, John 15 verse 7, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask whatsoever you desire. The word there is whatsoever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you'll be My disciples. I tell you, when you learn the secret place, when you learn the consistency, the discipline of the secret place, God will be answering you even before you ask. In fact, there is even a realm where before you ask, the Lord answers. Before, in the Father says that, don't I know what you need? The Father who knows what you need even before you ask Him. Why? Because you've spent time with Him. He is the vine, we are the branches. In Him we bear fruit. If we are apart from Him, we cannot do anything. Without God, we fall apart. When we spend time with Him, we enter into the realm of answered prayers and divine provision. Number six, benefit of the secret place is rest and renewal. Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There is a rest and a renewal of strength that happens in the secret place. I've seen this picture of someone showing where someone, you're going to your place of prayer, like you're a cat that has been rained on. But then when you come out from there, you're coming out as a lion. Why? Because you went to the place where you are weak, but you came out strong. You went to that place when you are discouraged, but you came out encouraged. You went there, you know, beaten and downtrodden, but you came out a conqueror, a champion. Why? Because you are renewed in the secret. No matter how tired you are, take a time to be in the presence of God, and you will find that there is a supernatural strength that comes from on high. And the last benefit for today that I will give us of the secret place is it is the realm of dreams, visions, and revelation. There is no one who prays. There is no one who worships God. There is no one who fasts. There is no one who spends time consistently in the presence of God that does not enter into the realm of dreams, visions, and revelations. God is found in the secret place. He says it is the glory of a king, of God, to hide a matter. It is the glory of kings to search it out. That means you can think of Cornelius. The guy was not even a Christian, but he was a devout man. He feared God. And the Bible says he used to give generously to the people and prayed to God always. But what happened? The day in the ninth hour, he was praying when he clearly saw a vision, an angel of God coming to him. Peter, the Bible tells us, the same chapter, Acts chapter 10, verse 9. The next day, as he went on their journey, they drew near the city. Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became hungry, and he wanted to eat. But while they made for him ready, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven open, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and letting down on the earth. I tell you, when you're consistently in your place, in your secret place with the Father, he will open your eyes. He says, call unto me and I will show you great and unsearchable things. Maybe you used to dream dreams. Maybe you used to have visions. Maybe you used to have revelation and they have gone. It is because you have neglected your secret place. Maybe you'll give the excuse, oh, maybe it's, I'm too busy. Oh, maybe motherhood. Oh, maybe parenting and all these things. You must find your consistency in your secret place. And these things will come back. You see, the Holy Spirit does not leave us, but the impact or how he manifests his presence in us is what diminishes. If we're not consistent with him, he is grieved and he becomes less manifested in us. How can you have a secret place? Number one, identify a physical place and a set time that is dedicated to you and God. Yes, you might have a time as a family, but have time as a person, have time as you. And this must be a fixed time where you have the least interruptions and it becomes your secret place. It becomes your prayer altar. Number two, have a clear plan, outline of what you must do. Always know what you're going to do. Worship, pray, study, meditate on the word, take notes. Number three, as I said earlier, purpose to fast regularly, at least once a week and as often as you're led by God. There are times God will tell you this month, fast three days. Or fast 7 days, or fast twice, 14 days, or 21 days, as God leads you. God will lead you. Why? Because he knows there are certain things that you need to build the capacity for, and God will lead you. Number four, have an accountability partner to whom you can report your progress, your victories, or failures. If you don't have someone that you can report to, and you speak from time to time, and you ask, how are you doing in the faith? You are in trouble. Lone rangers, the enemy targets lone rangers, but never be a lone ranger. Always have your leaders that you can speak to and say, by the way, I've been reading this. This is what is happening with my life. I have gone through this. I am going here. Let people know where you are. Every time you're alone, you're an easy target for an enemy. Lions only target the sheep that, or the antelope that is separated from the pride. Have accountability structures that will help you stand in your faith. And lastly, I will say, trust God for the grace. It starts with him. It is all about him, and it is he that will sustain you. This is not something that you will do on your own human effort. But as you trust in God, as you constantly ask God to help you, he will help you. And I'm going to stop here, and I pray that God has given us insight into the word. And my brothers and sisters, you are welcome to reflect as God leads you. Over.